Welcome to the podcast of St. Andrew's Community United Methodist Church, a loving, caring, overcoming community of faith where our mission is making disciples of Jesus Christ. Welcome, everyone, to our podcast on developing a discipleship pathway. We are focusing on helping people think about their spiritual lives as a journey of faith and learning to take some of the basic steps that people find helpful in growing in relationship with Christ. Last week, we discussed the importance of knowing, reading, studying, meditating, teaching the Bible as one of those steps. Today, we want to focus on taking some steps to an active prayer life. I am D.A. Bennett, and in studio with me once again is Pastor Stephanie Greenwald. Stephanie, greetings to you on this day. How are you this morning?
Thank you. I'm doing great. Great to be here again. I'm excited about this
podcast. Oh, awesome. Well, that makes us excited to hear what you're going to share. One of the things that I think is pretty common among churches is for the people to talk about the Bible as being spiritual food, and I typically follow that up by saying if the Bible is the spiritual food we eat, then prayer is the spiritual air that we breathe. Both are vital parts of a discipleship pathway. Mm-hmm. There are some people that I have encountered in my life that their whole lives seem to just be mastered by prayer. Mm-hmm. I don't know that we master prayer, but we can be mastered by prayer.
Right.
And they hear God's voice. They intercede in ways that make most of us feel like we don't even know how to pray. In fact, one of the greatest fears among many Christians is to pray out loud in front of others. But no matter where we are, if we're in that new place or we're in that place where it seems like we pray all the time, there has to be a starting point. And there has to be a place where even the mightiest of prayer warriors began. So that is what we want to help with today in answering the question, how can we develop an active prayer life? So Stephanie, to get us started today, perhaps you might share an encouraging word about what part does prayer play in your relationship with Christ?
Sure, I would love to talk about that. Prayer for me, just like you said, I love that, is the air that we breathe for our spirits, because it really is communication with God. And I think a lot of the ways that we go wrong in church is that we teach people that prayer is us talking to God.
Right.
And that's a part of it, but that's not all of it. And I think a lot of times we get steered in the wrong direction because we believe that that's what it is. And so then it becomes this thing that we have to accomplish, because the greatest part of it rests on our shoulders, like pressure, you know? And so then we get worried that we're going to do it wrong, and then we don't want to do it at all. And so I just would encourage you all today to know that prayer is not just you talking to God. Prayer is an open line of communication between your Maker, who loves you more than you could ever fathom, and you. And so prayer for me, when it finally made that switch from being something I had to do and I was the only one involved in the conversation, when it made a switch from that to being something that I started to actually listen for God's voice, and prayer became more than talking, because it's so much more than talking. The great thing about God and his ability to communicate is he's not limited by anything.
Right.
So like we are limited, if I want to communicate with you, I either have to write something down and you have to read it, or I have to tell you it. And God's not limited the way that we are limited. So prayer has endless possibilities for being a line of communication between us and God. And so I feel like the part that it plays for us is probably one of the greatest parts of our discipleship pathway and becoming more like Christ.
So, wow, right there off the bat, you say there are just, you know, like infinite ways that we can pray.
Yeah.
I do like the idea that let's think about prayer as conversation between us and God, no different than a conversation you and I are having right now, or a conversation you have with your spouse or with your kids or your friends. But that's still pretty broad. So let's see if we can break it down into some easier points that might help people. If there was someone that said, you know, I really want to start a daily prayer time. What are three steps that you would recommend if someone said, I want to learn how to pray, I don't pray? What are three things you might recommend to help them get started?
Oh, sure. Well, first of all, I would say set aside some time and be committed to it, because there comes a time in our relationship with God where we really should be able to pray without stopping. That's what Paul tells us. We need to pray without ceasing. But for every part of our walk, whether we're new or more experienced in our faith walk, I think that we always benefit from time set aside. Jesus did that. He went away to be with the Father. And I think that shows that we gain strength just like he did from that. So I would say set aside some time, whether that's morning, evening, lunchtime, whatever it's best for you, set aside time. And then when you take that time, I think the next important thing is to remember that you are with the one who loves you more than anything. There's not a set of expectations that God is placing on you that you have to meet, and if you don't meet them, then he's not going to love you anymore. And I think a lot of us look at our relationship with him in that way, and that is not how he wants us to look at it. So when you do take that time out of your day, remember that it's a time when you can go and take a breath, because you're finally with someone who cares for you more than anything. And as you take that breath, then go ahead and speak what is on your heart. And I think for those starting out, those three things are really important. As you grow in your faith, I think taking even more time to listen to what he is saying is really important. One of the things that I have benefited from is prayer journaling, which, if I'm going to be totally honest with you, I thought that was the most ridiculous thing when people would tell me to do it. So if you're listening, you're thinking, I am not going to journal. I totally hear you. Like, I felt the same way. But when I became a very busy person, it really helped me to focus my prayer. And so to be able to write down what I was praying to him. And the beauty of that was that then I could look back later and realize how he was at work. And we all need to be able to see how he's at work. So I think those things are important.
Whenever you talk about time, I was actually thinking one thing I might encourage people for is if you've never prayed and you want to make it a discipline, just pray before every meal.
Oh, yeah, perfect.
With your family. Yeah. It's a short prayer. It's a simple prayer where you're thanking God for providing and asking God's blessing.
Yeah.
You know, I remember as a kid, whenever we would take a long trip, you know, like 3 hours, we would always pray as a family in the car before we left, just asking God. You know, I think there are, again, are some set things that we can do that are very helpful.
That's
which
good.
When we talk about time, I think part of what that means is this is what this time is for. It's not for anything else. It's not time to turn on the TV. It's not time to turn on music.
Yeah.
It's just time. And I love how you said the second thing is to remember you're with someone who loves you without expectation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the things we get caught up in is there's this expectation for this is how you do it and this is what has to happen.
Yeah.
And then to say, it's not just listening, but speak your heart to God. God does know what's in our hearts already. So that's good. So those are three very good steps.
Mm-hmm.
But still some people find it hard to pray. Why do you think people find it so hard to pray?
Well, I think it's difficult to be in a relationship with someone you can't physically see.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay to just admit that. And, you know, a lot of times people think, well, if I'm praying, am I crazy? Because I'm talking to somebody who's not actually, you know, here, and I can't see them with my eyes. And I mean, we don't have a relationship like that with anyone else, if you think about it. And
right.
So it's awkward. It doesn't seem very natural. And it takes a level of faith. It takes a measure of faith. And sometimes we're uncomfortable with that. And so, but I also think, too, that it's one of those things you can really build up in your mind as being really difficult. But once you just do it, you realize it's not that hard.
Right.
You know?
Well, and even when you say you can't see him, the other thought is, you don't hear God speak often. I mean, there are some people that do.
Yeah.
The way you and I are talking right now, I mean, we hear God speak through the Word. We feel that inner witness of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And so I think one of the reasons people find it hard to pray is because they just don't want to get it wrong.
Yeah, right. right.
You know, and I think that's why it's important to say just speak what's on your heart.
Yeah.
You know, and if there's something in our hearts that is wrong,
yeah,
it is through that time with someone who loves us,
yeah,
without expectation, can begin to,
yeah,
share with us in ways that change our hearts.
Yeah. And one thing I would just add to that idea is that it may be difficult to start up the conversation. But the interesting thing is God has already started the conversation. God's already a part of the conversation. Mm. And so you're not initiating anything. You're just participating in something that's already there. And the other thing is, I think a lot of people become discouraged. In fact, I was talking to a youth about this the other day, that she was discouraged because she just was struggling with identifying that she felt God. And that was really hard for her. And the interesting thing about sensing God's presence and really hearing him in the way that he chooses to communicate is that it's kind of like a muscle. Like, the more you do it and the more you work it out, the stronger it becomes. And so at first it may feel awkward to listen, but if you are reading the scripture, because that's how God reveals himself to us in written form, and if you are taking time out of your day to pray and be with him, then you will start to recognize what he sounds like. And that gets easier over time, and that muscle becomes stronger over time the more that you do it, so that you know, oh, that's what God sounds like, or no, that's not what God sounds like. And it just takes experience, you know? What do you think about that?
Well, I think that one of the things that can be really helpful for us is, again, to have that discipline. When you're talking, I'm thinking, in our last podcast, we talked about reading the Bible.
Yeah.
I can hold it, I can touch it,
yeah,
I can feel it, and I can mark
mm-hmm.
my accomplishment. But prayer is
mm-mm.
not that way. And the words you used earlier that I think makes a lot of difference is faith.
Uh-huh.
That you know, faith means I believe God hears me
mm-hmm.
even when I can't see him, I don't feel like I can physically touch him or connect with him. And one of the things that I also thought, and I think this actually comes from Jewish tradition, is a lot
mm-hmm.
of times my understanding is not all Jews say amen
mm-hmm.
at the end of a prayer
mm-hmm.
because for them the prayer doesn't end.
Yeah.
That prayer is that ongoing conversation with God. I think sometimes the pressure people feel, and one of the reasons that people struggle is because I feel like this is a have to.
Yeah.
I have to do this. Or I remember when I was in seminary, there was a guy, he was an African, and he would talk about how he prayed for an hour a day.
Yes.
And I was like, oh. You
know,
I think I've got a pretty good prayer life.
Yeah.
It may reach an hour over the course of the day.
Right.
You know, depending on whether finals are coming up or I have a paper
right.
or a
test.
You know, and I think that's one of the things that happens is sometimes we feel guilty. The only time we really do talk to God
mm-hmm.
is when we want something.
Right.
But again, to realize that unlike humans, God loves us.
Yeah.
And God wants to talk to us. And I think God loves it when we turn off the TV and silence the cell phone and turn off the computer.
Yeah.
And sometimes we just sit. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure when you're with your husband or when you're with your kids, sometimes you don't need to say anything.
Right.
You just need to
be in their presence.
Be in their presence. And I think that's what prayer can be like sometimes. It's
mm-hmm.
God, are these my thoughts? Are you speaking to, you know,
right.
I just to be intentional about focusing on that relationship.
Well, and don't you feel like, too, that when Paul talked about praying without ceasing, that's one of the things that really changed in my prayer life, was when I began to understand what that meant, that God didn't ever want the prayer to begin and end. It just needs to be a continual open door conversation. But don't you think, too, that praying without ceasing really is just a continual awareness of God's presence? It doesn't have to be a speaking, hearing type conversation. It really is just an awareness of how he's there. And that's why I loved what you said a minute ago about the steps, praying before a meal, praying before a trip. It's more realizing, hey, God is a part of everything
right.
that we're doing, and becoming constantly aware of that, and then surrendering to him in that, I think, is really important part of prayer.
years ago, I heard a teaching. A lot of different people were talking about prayer, and there's a writer some of our listeners may be familiar with. She's now passed. Her name was Madeline Lingle. Mm-hmm. I really never read her stuff, didn't know much about her, just recognized her name. But she was in this video talking about prayer, and I've just always remembered what she said because I was like, that's it.
Yeah.
And what she said was, I find that prayer is my interior monologue. I'm not smart enough to come up with words like interior monologue.
That's a good one.
But I was like, yeah, that's what it is. Everything going on in my mind is somehow connected to this relationship I have with God. And while it might not be formally called prayer, it really is that conversation that God and I are having together where God's trying to get my attention and God is speaking to me. And, you know, that was a very helpful thing for me.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's say I'm wanting to pray and I'm going to set out the time and I'm going to realize I'm with someone who loves me without expectation and I'm going to speak my heart, but I just don't know how to express what's in my heart. Is it okay, do you think, to use other people's words and other people's prayers when we pray? I mean, I know we don't really do it here at St. Andrew's Community United Methodist Church, but when we pray, we just kind of pray what's in our heart and in our mind. But I know some churches, they really pray formal, structured prayers that are written for them. Is that okay in my personal prayer life?
Yes, I think that's wonderful. I think as we continue to grow in our faith, we learn, just like we talked about in our last podcast, we learn from imitation. So there's nothing wrong with looking at what people have prayed in the past and praying that again. The Common Book of Prayer is a wonderful way to get people kind of jump started. If you're having trouble in your prayer time, I would suggest getting a copy of that and praying through that book. I mean, that's great. And like we've talked about before, the Lord's Prayer is very much that. We recite the Lord's Prayer every Sunday, and there's nothing wrong with praying other people's words, not at all.
Right, and I think it can be helpful in our United Methodist Book of Worship. Mm-hmm. It'll say, you know, prayers for this, prayers for that.
Yeah.
In our rituals for weddings, for funerals, there are written prayers if we just really struggle with knowing what to pray.
Yeah.
I think that I would imagine that some of the ways that I have prayed in my life are because I did hear somebody praying that way. I've got a dear friend in Tulsa, and whenever she prays, she always says, Father God.
Yes.
And she was a great Bible teacher, and I noticed that the women that were under her ministry, when they would pray, it was Father God. Or there are some traditions where people use the word Father a lot, and you can almost identify them by the way that we pray. So I think that there are some parts of faith that are taught. There's some parts about prayer that we can teach you, but there are other parts of prayer that are caught.
Yeah.
We catch it by praying with other people. So I'm wanting to start this prayer life, and I'm setting aside the time. I understand the three steps that you've talked about, and maybe I do have that aid, a Book of Common Prayer, or you know, something like that helps us know how to pray.
Mm-hmm.
So as we've thought through this, was there any other encouragement you had, any like big word you want to share with people to help them in their prayer lives?
Yeah, I would love it. So one of the really great things about prayer is that God wants to be so much a part of our prayer life that if we don't know what to pray, He will tell us what to pray.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had multiple experiences with this, especially when I was interceding for someone. And I have a neat story that I actually heard my brother preach in one of his sermons recently about a woman in one of his previous churches who was an intercessor. She actually had the gift of intercession.
Right.
And whenever I hear about that, I always think, whoa.
Yeah, that person's on a level that I'm not.
Yeah, that I am not on. And he said that at the time he knew her, she was in her 90s, and he had gone to her house and was visiting with her, and then she asked if she could pray for him, and he was actually really excited about that because he knew that she had the gift of intercession, and he'd never experienced that with her before. So she said, let's kneel here at the coffee table. So they knelt at the coffee table, and she said, why don't you start praying, and then I'll pray. And so my brother prayed, and Then she began to pray, and he said, as she was praying, he found himself sort of inwardly saying, yes, what she is saying, what she is saying. Well, he didn't realize he was saying that out loud, and so she started to giggle. So then as they finished up the prayer, he said he felt this incredible presence of God during her prayer. But he asked her, how did you know that you had the gift of intercession? When did that start? And she said that when she was in her early 20s, God had told her, you're going to be an intercessor. And she had no idea what that even meant, let alone how to do it. And so she asked God, what do I do? And he said, you get the newspaper and you look at the newborn section and you begin to pray for all of the newborn babies. And he said, kneel at this coffee table. Well, she had lived in that same house her entire life and had kneeled at that same coffee table for all of those years praying for people. And she just said, it's amazing how when you listen, God will tell you what other people are needing and you can intercede on their behalf because no one else is. Mm-hmm. And I thought, wow, what an incredible gift, not only for her as she gets to experience the presence of God, but for so many people that she's prayed for. And I remember at times when I was confused about how to pray for someone, and I would ask, and God would say, why don't you pray for this? And then to watch that unfold is such a miracle. And so I would just encourage you, prayer with God, a relationship with God, is something that is not short term. It's long term. It's going to happen over time. So stick with it and be excited about where God is going to take you in this amazing prayer journey that you're going to be on.
Awesome, awesome. That you touched on so many things that we might want to get on in future podcasts about intercession or about prayer walking. It was one of the things that went through mine.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of people would admit they want to know the Bible better or that they want to pray more faithfully and more powerfully. And one of the keys, I think, must be discipline. We just have to make that a priority. You have to carve out time for it. Our hope is that the last two podcasts encourage us to maybe start small, but then build up. Again, this is D.A. Bennett alongside with Pastor Stephanie Greenwald. We would love to hear your feedback, so feel free to send us your comments via email at dabennett@saokc.org or sgreenwald@saokc.org. Again, we thank you for listening and pray God's blessings for you today.